Welcome back, guys. We are now entering into the second half of season two. And as promised, I am kicking it off with a solo episode and one that I have actually had brewing for several months. And I actually will get into that during today's episode as to why I think that the timing of this episode actually end up working out perfectly, because I felt like I was able to get a lot more authentic in my messaging because of some of the things that I experienced over the last several months. So I'm super excited for you guys to be tuning in to today's episode, Embracing Your Evolution. Let's get in. You are now listening to The Reminder Remedy, and I'm your host, Alina Conley, reminding you that everything you need is everything you got. This podcast was created with you in mind, those of you that want to live the most authentic versions of yourself. I'm located here in Atlanta, Georgia, my hometown, with my husband, Prince, and my three kiddos, Parker, Alicia, and Creed. I love talking all things motherhood, business, especially entrepreneurship, self-care, and all things in between. Let's get into today's episode. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Well, I know for me, it was the easiest thing to rip off the band-aid of procrastination to start getting my message out there. And if you haven't heard about Anchor already, which I'm sure many of you have if you're listening to my show, it is the free tool that makes podcasting for anyone super easy. Like I said, it's free. There are tons of creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. This was a game changer for me because I absolutely had no excuse not to get it done. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so that you can be heard on Spotify, Apple, and many more. What I love about it is that you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. This is a game changer for us beginning podcasters to actually start driving some revenue from putting our message out there. It's really everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. All right. Hey, guys, welcome back. So it is the Saturday before Easter. And if you had the opportunity to check out my last show where I was just kind of giving you all some life updates, you know that I have been fasting from social for the last 40 days, which I promise I will be rolling out an episode in the next week about that experience, because it actually, so I grew up Catholic. I don't know how many of you all know that. So the Lenten season has always just been a part of my life and something that I've always committed to since I was in kindergarten. And so, you know, just really taking the time to fast from something, give up something during the Lent season is something that I've literally done my entire life. And something that was always kind of, I guess, taught to me in school was, you know, to give up something that would actually feel like you were sacrificing. You know, it was kind of like, okay, you know, I can give up soda, right? But I don't drink soda, so it's not a sacrifice. And so for me, I always kind of hear those words from my old sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Huss, or Miss Huss, rest in peace. She was actually a retired nun, and she was just a lovely woman. And I just remember her saying, you know, if it is not a sacrifice, if it will not hurt you initially to lose it, then it probably isn't something that you should give up for Lent. So anyways, needless to say, every year I kind of giving up the same things, you know, carbs, fried food, alcohol, cursing, sugar. But this was the first time that I actually gave up social media, and I kind of talked about that in the last episode. But I was doing an interview, what was that about a couple of days ago, maybe about 5 days ago. Yeah, it's actually been a week since, but I was doing an interview for this magazine and they were asking me something, and I was sharing with them how I recently gave up social media, and for the last 6 years, I would always see people say, oh, I'm going on a fast from social. And I personally would always be like, man, like, that would be so dope if I could just, like, not be on my phone all day. But I always felt like I absolutely had to show up on social every day because I was running a business that required me to share my life and to share my product stories every single day, to the point where, you know, if I wasn't, there would be like a text in my inbox like, hey, you know, people are looking up to you. You need to set the example, like that kind of stuff. So I always felt like if I stepped away from that, then my world would fall apart. My business would fall apart, etc. So when I had the opportunity to do that, now that, you know, I've transitioned from business models, it was just a very exciting thing for me, but I did not realize how hard it was going to be. And I thought, you know, this will be a sacrifice because it's something that I've always been kind of wanting to do, but afraid to do because of the repercussions. But when I tell you that, the reason why I'm talking about this is because today's episode is about embracing your evolution. And even that small season or 40 days of doing that allowed me to evolve into this completely different person. Just from a new perspective, habits, which I feel like that's an entire episode, so I'll save it. But I think that for me, it's just crazy because I have been trying to record this episode for months. Like, this subject matter that I'm going to talk about has been something that probably back in October, I was having this conversation with one of my girlfriends, and I was like, oh, I need to make that a podcast episode. So if you also listen to my last episode, you know that October was actually when my, you know, real kind of ripple effect of craziness started. And so for this whole episode to come to life, really, or want to bring it to you guys back in October, and for it to come now, and me knowing all of the stuff that I went through in that short period of time, and even more recently in this 40-day period, it's just a reminder that, like, God's timing is always going to be perfect, because I feel like the way that I'm going to be delivering this message today to you guys is a lot more authentic, but it's also a lot more compassionate. Like, I feel like when I was having this conversation about embracing your evolution with my homegirl, I was being very, you know, very aggressive in my approach, very matter of fact. Whereas now that I've kind of gone through a season, it's just really, really, really hard for me to even come at somebody in a way that lacks compassion, because my humbled lifestyle now is just on another level, you know, just because the way that I see things day to day has just shifted so much. So I'm excited to get into today's episode because I feel like the time is now. All right, so let's talk about that. And I also, before I want to start, and I know you're kind of like, all right, let's just get into it, Alina, I do want to acknowledge all of you guys who reached out to me about the Remnant Seasons episode. So I loaded that. I had that time to go live while I was in Cabo. And so I really didn't get to engage as much with that. And it really was just kind of a freestyle episode. But I literally had somebody come back and say, like, how are you going to top that episode? And I'm like, oh, like, that wasn't even a real episode. That was just like a legit kind of moment, which I feel like is important for me to always have those moments of not just interviews and not just teaching or curriculum or topics, but just like have those moments. And in that moment, so many of you all have texted me, DM'd me, some people that I haven't talked to in years, you know, I didn't even know y'all listened to my stuff, just reached out and kind of gave me their life update. And it felt great to be able to connect with you guys, and to really recognize the power in the Remnant Season. So if you haven't had the opportunity to go and check out the last episode, definitely put it on your book list or your reading list to get back and check it out. So embracing your evolution. I'm not getting chills even like going into this topic because y'all, it is going to be a game changer. Now, what I do have to say, and I feel like the last time I gave one of these warnings was on the Getting Unstuck episode, is that when I start to cover subject matters that have to do with the way the brain functions, the way that we think about life, I always like to just encourage people to take notes and don't feel like you can't go back and re-listen, because some of the stuff that I'll say is not going to click, right? So a lot of the things that I'll also share are things that I literally wrote down in my notes from books that I've read that I had to go over the meaning of what that, how that resonated with me over and over again until I really could put it into like modern day, you know, terms that I use for it to really resonate with me the way that it could be impactful. So I encourage you to not be turned off by some of the rigmarole in how I explain things, especially around consciousness and evolution and subconscious thinking and levels of awareness. I don't want terms like that to get you to skip to an episode that's lighter, right? Because I feel like the more that we can kind of internalize these things and think about how they make sense for us, the more they will really resonate with our spirit. So I pray that, you know, as you guys are listening, it connects with you in a way that makes sense for you. So, okay, evolution. What does that even mean, right? So Webster actually defines the word evolution as a descent with modification from pre-existing species, a cumulative inherited change in a population of organisms through time leading to the appearance of new forms. The second definition provided by Webster for the term evolution is a bit simpler. It just says a process of change in a certain direction. And then it digs even deeper into that and says a process of continuous change from a lower, simpler, or worse to a higher, more complex, or better state. I always like going back to the root definition of words, because in those definitions, you really can see some of the most basic understandings of these terms. And I wanted to share what Webster says about evolution, because some of our modern day thinking around this term has actually impacted us negatively. Okay, so I just want to kind of put a pencil in that, but I wanted to share that definition with you. Now, how many of you all have seen that meme that says, like in quotes, "you've changed," and then it says, "first of all, thank God"? That is how I feel about why it's so important to embrace our evolution, because Lord knows, if some of us had not evolved, where would we be, right? So we've all been taught change is good, but many of us have not been taught how to deal with change, how to cope with change, how to really roll with the punches when it comes to change. So perhaps we oftentimes tend to get stuck. A lot of us get stuck in the past. We get stuck in a season in our life. We get stuck in a blessing. Oh, that was something that I saw in, I had mentioned before that I recently read T.D. Jakes' New Plan, and his book is now out called Crushing. And that was the first time I had ever heard that, was how a blessing could have you stagnant. And that really resonated with me, because I felt like in past seasons, especially when it comes to business and success, I had seen success so fast. And not to say that it, you know, didn't get any war wounds in building, but I felt like my blessings had me stuck. So when I heard him talk about that, I was like, wow, how many of us are stuck in our blessing and are not moving on to the next blessing because we are afraid of the change that will come and the growing that will come from that. And then, you know, in general, we may also just fear changing. You know, we may be comfortable because we're just like, shoot, I just got good at this season. I just got good at this business. I just got good at this job. You know, so the idea of evolving past something that maybe you've put so much energy into to become an expert in feels like it came too fast. You know, life comes at you fast, right? That's how change and evolution can sometimes feel with us. So I want us to make an attempt on today's episode to potentially rewire ourselves to not look at this term change and everything that we associate with change. So whether it be, you know, a change in your body, a change in your edges, because y'all, Creed snatched all of them. They just fly. They just falling by the minute. Okay, changing your edges, changing your bank account, changing your lifestyle. Instead of us using this sometimes stigma or this negativity around things that change course without us actually wanting it to, instead of us looking at change as something that may not always feel right, how about we just take that word today and really forever and just change it to evolution? Let's just make it a synonym for evolving, okay? We didn't change, we evolved, all right? So really looking at it as a progressive change that one develops and that, in fact, not only do we develop it, but we build upon it. And not only are we going to acknowledge evolutions that have occurred, but we're going to also embrace it. So today, I want to talk about some stuff that my homie Gary Zukav talks about in his book Seat of the Soul. And if you've been rocking with me for a while, you know that book is one that I talk about frequently. It's one that I still have not been able to finish cover to cover. I'm still in the midst of it because so much of the content, I feel like you got to sit with it. You know, I know some people that has taken them a year or more to read the context of this book, but this is my first time actually digging into some of his work on the podcast. So don't feel like you need to go and read it to complete this episode, but I had to pull out his book because I remember that the first chapter in his book is called Evolution. So I said, okay, if I want to talk to my girls, my audience, about embracing this evolution, this change that's happening in many of our lives, I want to pull in some of the concepts that I felt like helped me to start recognizing the power of my evolution. So in his book, he states, no understanding of evolution is adequate that does not have at its core that we are on a journey towards authentic power, and that authentic empowerment is the goal of our evolutionary process and the purpose of our being. Now, in this book, he talks about there being two distinctive concepts that he goes over and that he tries to convey in the chapter that he entitles Evolution. And he talks about understanding the difference between two powers. Okay, so the two powers that he brings up in this chapter are what he refers to as external power and what he refers to as authentic power. Okay, so external power, these are the powers that are typically fueled by worldly things. Okay, so if you're a Christian, it might be things of this earth, right? That's kind of how he aligns this external power that he references. So those are things like jealousy, success, economics, hate, war, competition. These are all things that he defines as sources of external power that one may hold. On the other side, he also references this thing called authentic power. And he says that this is actually the power that is fueled by internal soul things. So he defines things such as love, passion, creativity, wisdom, all things that would be defined as your authentic power. Okay, so let me run that back. All right, we got two types of powers that we're talking about, or that Gary talks about in his book. He talks about the external power. All right, these are things that you get power from that are of this world. So they are fueled by things like jealousy, success, economics, hate, war, competition. And then you have authentic power, which is fueled by internal things that you feel at the core of your soul, such as love, passion, creativity, and wisdom. Now, Gary believes that as a species, right, as humans, we are currently evolving into a place where we are actually no longer seeking external power. So when I read this, you know, I'm thinking, I somewhat agree. Right? Because I feel like so many of us are desperately seeking our authentic power. Like so many of us are trying not to become of this world, but trying to find things that really embrace those authentic powers that he talks about. So, you know, if I'm looking to my left and my right, while many of us may not have achieved that level of evolution yet, I feel like many of us have recognized that there is some power in the soul felt things versus the things of this world, right? So he thinks that right now we're at a place in human evolution where we are going towards not just getting caught up in external power, but finding that authentic power. Now, another concept that he talks about is the difference between one's personality and one's soul. Okay, two different concepts in his book, personality and soul. So Zubek says your personality is that part of you that you were born into. It lives within and it will die within time. To be human and to have a personality, it's the same thing. So he defines being human and having this concept of a personality are the same things. He also says that only the personality can feel anger, fear, hatred, vengeance, loneliness, shame, regret, indifference, frustration, cynicism. But he also says that a personality can be loving, compassionate, and wise, but that these things are not derived from the personality, but in fact, they are experiences of the soul, and these things are actually immortal. So when I'm sharing these things as they're coming off, the first thing that comes to me is like, is someone listening to this going to really take what's being said, like, and truly understand, you know, these concepts that he's talking about? So, you know, this could be a potential place for you to rewind really quickly and re-listen to what I just said around the difference between these concepts so that you can really go where I'm going in this episode. So in my opinion, I feel like his description of evolution is basically the journey that is taken for us to align the two, right? And we do that through the choices that we make, right? So if we go back to his initial definition of evolution, he basically, let me just read it again so we can kind of be on the same page. No understanding of evolution is adequate that does not have at its core that we are on a journey towards authentic power, and that authentic empowerment is the goal of our evolutionary process and the purpose of our being. So simply put, basically, the whole purpose of us evolving into these people, right? We cannot look at evolution and really understand the definition of what it means to change and evolve into the person that we're meant to be if we do not recognize that a journey to get there is the way that we choose to make conscious choices to embrace our authentic power. So to embrace the things that we love, to embrace the things that bring us wisdom, to embrace the things that we find creative, right? So the ultimate goal is to get back to living a pure form of life that only includes those things, which I think that many of us can agree that if we look at our day to day, our days are filled with things of the personality, not of the soul. They're filled with things of fear, hatred, shame, regret, right? And ultimately, we're trying to get to this place where we almost like unpeel the layers of the personality or the things that are driven by external power and try to get to the most authentic version of ourselves, which are the things that define what we love the most, the things that we're most compassionate towards, the things that we're most creative when we're doing them, right? So it's kind of like we're constantly on this journey, and through, you know, life's events, they start to help us recognize the things that matter to us most. That's like basically what he said in my own words. So it's my opinion personally that many of us start to recognize what I like to refer to as these misalignments during around the same, I would say the same time for many people. I think that's actually why the whole term midlife crisis was even coined. Okay. And typically it's around our 30s. So shout out to my people. Like, this episode, y'all, is for y'all. Like, it's for us. When I hit my 30s, right? So I'll be 34 in like 3 weeks. Jesus, gosh, time flies. But when I started approaching my 30s, really late 20s, but really early 30s, I started to notice that several of my friends were dealing with some form of depression, right? Many people were suffering from anxiety. Many of my friends, you know, were in therapy or on medication for these conditions. And pretty much every single person that I know, and I'm not going to even say new, because this is still pretty much present day for everyone that I know, feels some level of uncertainty or this feeling of being stuck. And, you know, I even solidified that when I did the Getting Unstuck episode, because to this day, that is my most listened to episode. And it's probably the one that I've gotten the most reviews and feedback on, because so many people could relate. And I personally feel like these misalignments of the personality and the soul, if we're using Gary's terms, are ultimately what caused this feeling of us being stuck, right? Like, I think that term unstuck is so catchy, because every day people just feel like, damn, I'm just stuck. Like, I just feel like I don't know where I want to go. Or I feel like I'm doing something that I like, but, you know, I've been doing it for so many years and now I'm just not feeling it anymore. My passion for it is not there anymore. I'm bored. I want something new, right? Excuse me. So it's kind of like everyone gets to this point where the things of the soul, we want to reiterate that again, love, compassion, creativity, wisdom, just pretty much pure joy in its purest form, right? At some point, we realize that, like, everything that we love about life is not what we're doing most of the time. Like, we're doing things that if we really sat down and thought about them, they just are not that important to us. Or like, we liked them maybe 5 years ago and like, man, we're not really rocking with them as hard anymore. So it creates this misalignment of like the life that you're living and the person that you really are. Oh, write that down. Tweetable moment. There becomes a point where the person that you are present day, right, the life that you're living every day is really not the person that you are at your core. So you're living a life of misalignment. We can't even drive cars that are misaligned, but yet we're living super misaligned lives, which causes so many of us to have this feeling of being stuck. So Gary also has a quote that I love, that he says, if you choose unconsciously, you evolve unconsciously. If you choose consciously, you evolve consciously. And when I was reading that, I was giving him like, yes, Gary, yes, because it's so true. It's like life happens, period. Like, all of the things that we go through, highs, lows, good, bad, like, If you really pay attention to it, every single person goes through it. It can't be avoided, right? So you can choose to go through life's experiences super unconscious, you know, just on straight autopilot, not really learning or evolving from anything that's going on, right? I kind of look at that as people that just like choose not to read books, like choose not to do personal development. It's like you just like let like I keep saying I'm trying to say life, not like. You just let life come at you. And while there are a lot of things that we cannot avoid, we can choose to be super woke when it happens, right? We can choose to be conscious around how certain things made us feel. We can choose how we grow past certain experiences in our life. We can acknowledge who we want to become based on situations that we've been in, right? I was having a conversation with someone the other day about, you know, just like my career and different things taking off. And I was very vocal on the things that I recognized from my past that I know for a fact I can no longer embrace because I've evolved past them, right? I can't be in situations where I work in an environment where I'm super marginalized by my managers. I can't be in an environment where I'm doing, you know, the same mundane thing every single day, 9 to 5. Not to say that there was not a season in my life where I wasn't willing to put my head down and do those things to get to where I wanted to be. But where I am right now, the person I am today, the things that make me happy and that make me most creative and that make me love life and that make me, you know, have a good attitude towards my husband and my kids are not aligned with the things that I did in my 20s when it comes to work, right? So a misalignment example would be, you know, at your core, you love these 5 things, but in your life, you're not doing that at all. In your life, you're doing things that you actually resent, right? Not to say that, you know, I mean, sometimes you do have to do certain things, but there has to be a journey where we are moving towards a place where every year, every day, every minute, pulling back the things that are not of our soul. And that takes conscious effort. So when he says that line around, if you choose unconsciously, you evolve unconsciously, it means that you look up and you've evolved into somebody that you don't even know because you didn't even make a conscious decision a day in your life. Hello? 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 Now, the consciousness that he speaks of, you know, is really being aware of the soul and the feelings that are derived by it. And then really making deliberate choices to build a life around those feelings. So I've said in other episodes, or maybe I've said this in person speaking events, I can remember growing up and always hearing, you know, do the things that you love, do the things that you're passionate about, and feeling very frustrated because I did not feel like I could articulate what those passions were. You know, I just didn't really know how to express what I loved and really even more so turn those passions into a profit, right? Because that's something, another tagline we hear and see every day. Now, turn your passions into your profit. But the problem is that the type of world that we live in, a lot of times we just trying to make it day to day. We're living on this hamster wheel. We're doing the same routine, sun up to sundown with a little remix here and there. And in doing that, a lot of times we don't even get to hear our inner voice that helps us to recognize where we have the most, what I like to call soul fires. Okay, the moments in time where you literally get a burning sensation in your chest of joy because that felt so good. It's funny because when I was working at JP Morgan, I was so misaligned. And I think that this whole concept is so on point because it is a journey, because through the journey, you know, the misalignments are what help us to feel those emotions and recognize them, right? So when I was working at JP Morgan, you know, grateful for the experience, but there were just a lot of things that were misaligned from the things that brought me true joy. But I remember there was a time where there were some students who every year my manager would bring in students from this organization called Highbridge Voices, which basically was Highbridge is a community, an underserved community in the Bronx. And they would take children from this area and teach them music and how to play instruments, and they would perform at, you know, these amazing like operas in New York. Anyways, every year they would bring these high rich voices students into JP Morgan to give them a view of what it would look like to work on Wall Street, what the trading desk looks like, et cetera. So I was given the task of putting together this event, you know, bringing in the people. So there was a little bit of event planning, but there was also this segment where I basically had to bring in some panel speakers and moderate this conversation and also kind of have like a little bit of coaching with the kids. So I remember after the event was over, one of my managers was like, "You were so amazing." She was like, "I don't really know how to say this or how this can even be relevant, but like, this is your calling." And I remember in that moment, just really being a little irritated because I was just like, don't try to make me be something other, like, don't try to make me be like this soft person, right? Like, when you're working on Wall Street, it's all about like, who's the most analytical, who's the smartest, who's this, who's that, right? Who's the most competitive, who's the fastest, right? All of these things that, you know, Gary refers to as these external powers, like, that is what Wall Street is about. And so in any moment, if I'm letting my guard back and you feel like for whatever reason my skill set lies in something that's outside of my career, like, I was feeling like a little like, you know, well, don't try to make me the event planner around here. Like, I'm, you know, I'm the numbers girl, whatever, right? But that was me not embracing the things that really brought me joy, because prior to her saying that, the feeling that I had in my chest the entire time was of pure joy. I loved educating those students on the career path opportunities. I loved talking to them about, you know, their skill set and their talents in the music space. I loved connecting with people. I love teaching. I love hosting, moderating, all the stuff that I do now that I get paid for. I did not embrace it 10 years ago in my career path when I was misaligned. But if I had consciously recognized the feeling in my gut that I felt during that moment, and if I had been a little more woke around recognizing the feelings and the power of those soul felt moments, then I would have leaned a little bit more into that earlier. Right. But at the time, I was not evolved enough in my own personal understanding of who I was, or even recognizing those kind of butterfly in your stomach moments, those kind of, oh, that was just a rush kind of moment. I didn't recognize that those are the things along the journey that help you to realize how you start moving towards your core by taking those moments of just pure alignment and trying to have more of that in your life. All right. So I kind of gave that example just off the head, because as I'm kind of thinking about my own journey, I definitely want to make sure that I'm giving thoughtful examples around these concepts so that, you know, they can resonate in a way that makes sense. So I want to talk through this a little bit more. So do you feel like it's a coincidence that these midlife crises tend to strike so many of us at similar times in life? I really don't think it's a coincidence. And let me kind of talk you through why I feel like these things occur for many of us at certain points. I don't necessarily think it's an age thing. I think that it's one of those typically those moments where you have to start adulting and really figure out life that maybe they strike. All right. So let's talk through this. So from the time that we're born, right, the majority of us are put in environments that force us to acknowledge external power. Not only acknowledge these external powers, but actually chase it. Like, that's legit what we're grown to do our entire life, is to chase success, money, you know, big houses, fast cars, skinny bodies, friends, you know, superlatives, awards, degrees. Like, I can go on and on about all of the external things that are supposed to give us power and give us recognition that we are groomed to chase our entire lives. Even when you think about the definition of evolution from the scientific standpoint, it actually says that evolution is about one organism evolving into a more complex organism, resulting in a better organism, which basically is where Darwin's concept of survival of the fittest came in. So if you even look at the definition that we're taught in some of our scientific concepts, they all condition us to want to be more evolved than the other person. Faster, stronger, smarter, richer, okay? The prettiest, the most successful, the most influential, the most accepted. Nowadays, the most likes, the most followers. All of these things, right, are what people typically identify as powerful, all right? Evolved, more evolved. So halfway through our life, when we hit like what, our 30s, 35, whatever, we spend half of our life up until that point really trying to hit all of those measurements, right? All of those sources of external power. We literally spend our entire lives going after them, all right? So then something happens, typically around that 30 some odd mark, all right? Number one, we either become exhausted with that chase for those external powers because they feel unattainable, right? You know, how many of us are like, damn, I've been working and working since I was in my teens and I'm still living paycheck to paycheck. I'm still not a homeowner. I'm still not debt free. You know, my bank account still doesn't look like how I want it to. Right. So then we start getting to our 30s or 30, you know, mid 30s. And we're like, well, shoot, I did all of these things. I've been chasing all of these things. And it just doesn't feel like they're attainable. So that's something that happens for many of us. For others, they may taste some external power. Right. It's almost like you get a hit of one of those things. You know, you get a hit of success. Right? Maybe you become super influential at your job because you've been there 15 years and everyone respects you. It's like all of these things that you chase, most times you will get a taste of something, right? You may not end up being the skinniest, but you might have the most money, right? So in some form or fashion, a lot of us get a hit or a taste of these external powers that we've tried to chase our entire lives. And then what happens? It's short lived because we get a taste of it and then we still are not satisfied. We want more. We get the job that we wanted and we still want a higher role. You know, we get the money that we wanted and we still want more money. We lose weight and we want to lose more weight, right? We get one car, then we want another car. We travel, you know, once a quarter. Next thing you know, you want to travel every month. It's like all of the things that you were chasing for this life that you wanted to live through these external and things of this world that you wanted your entire life. They become like this fleeting source of fulfillment because guess what? They are fleeting, right? So many of us start to take that taste and want to satisfy it over and over and over again. Now, there are two things that happen in number two when you get that taste. In my opinion, the less evolved, right? I'm putting air quotes around evolved. The less evolved person continues to chase. They continue to chase those hits. And that's why sometimes a lot of people look up and be like, damn, I thought that the faster car, I thought that the Maserati was going to make me feel super lit. And I actually still feel the same way I did when I got my first Honda, right? Or I thought that, you know, getting to the top of this company was going to make me feel smarter, faster, more powerful. And I don't, you know, or I feel like I need more, or I feel like I should be doing more. Like, you're never satisfied. That's how the more evolved person that continues to chase these fleeting things, that's something that often happens. Now, that exhaustion from that chase a lot of times will turn into a midlife crisis, right? Because outside of, for some of us feeling like the chase is unattainable, for many of us who got a taste of the chase are exhausted because we keep going after new things, and then we get the new things and the new things and the new things, and they still don't bring us any joy because guess what? They were only sources of external power. None of them were at our core. So that journey of evolution is not happening because we're not pulling back any layers of the things that actually should be aligned to who we are. We're just still chasing the things that we were told were important. Now, the more evolved of us. And when I say of us, I'm not even necessarily putting myself in that category because we ain't talking about me right now. We just talking about general concepts. All right. The more evolved will actually recognize that that hit was from external powers. That it wasn't the joy that they felt in that hit or of that taste of success was not from an external power. It was actually from the soul. Okay. So what I mean by that is there will be moments where you may have success, right? And you know, a lot of times you'll hear successful people say, you know, it's not the money that makes me happy. It's, you know, the people that I get to work with. It's the person that I became in the process of getting to the money. And a lot of times people, I don't want to hear that. But when you get to that place, all of a sudden you wake up and you realize, oh, I understand what they mean by that, because at the end of the day, really the money in the bank account really did nothing for my emotions. It's the entire process of me earning that is what brought me joy, right? So if I talk about, for example, you know, my career in direct sales, if I was to go back and try to relive that evolution of who I became, the final product of what most people see is a successful direct salesperson, an ambassador diamond, which was top of the company, right? A multi-million dollar earner in the company, right? Those are those external powers that the world gives to you. And in my mind, you know, that title or that money, while, yeah, it's great, really what was the real like hit, what was the real rush were those sleepless nights, right? It was the in the room with my team, city to city, talking about our products. It was the tears shed because of the dark nights where I had to face myself and figure out, you know, why I care so much about what people think, how I was going to help to develop other leaders, you know, how I was going to be able to balance this and that. It was like the those of us that recognize, oh, well, I thought that, you know, that journey, the thing that was going to make me most happy was finishing the journey with money. I thought that was going to be the best part, but really the best part was the journey. Because when you get there, you realize you'll never relive those moments again, because that first hit of becoming, you know, whatever, you start to understand the more important things. You start to understand that beyond the business, it's the people, right? It's beyond, you know, the meetings, whatever, is the relationships and the people that you touch and the segments that people walked away and did life-changing things that actually end up bringing you the most joy. Or I know for me, that's how it was, right? It was kind of like, yeah, like I have these, you know, these things, but at the end of the day, that is not what I think about when I reminisce on the good times. Like what I think about is, man, that was like so dope when, you know, women were calling me with tears in their eyes because they had breakthrough moments of starting to believe in themselves. When women who thought that they never were going to get their body back after kids called me talking about products that I had helped them with completely change the way that they felt about themselves confidently, right? So that then becomes the chase. It's like you evolve from the chase being about money to the chase being about how many lives can I change. Oh man, some of y'all are listening right now like, wow. And we never really understood, and some of y'all, that still is not gonna resonate because you're chasing some stuff that you still haven't got to yet. So you're just kind of like, oh well, whatever, I'm gonna still chase this money, right? Whatever, keep doing whatever you feel like you need to do to go through your journeys, to peel back your layers, to get in alignment. My point is that when you get there, if you are conscious, and that's what we're going towards, if you are conscious in your decision making, what you're going to realize is that the best part of that entire journey was every single thing it took to get there. And you want to be able to do more of those things that made you feel super fulfilled. And that is embracing the evolution of the things that become important to you. Right? Where I am in my business and in my career right now, that's all I'm chasing, right? Like, I feel like money comes and goes. Like, to me, before I ever tasted it, or when I was just defining my success by it, because that's what the world told me to do, like, that's how I made my decisions. That's how I made my decision to go into financial services, because they paid the most, right? But now that I've, you know, gone through the journey of the external power chase, I evolved because of that journey. And I was conscious enough to understand and to lean into the things that brought me the most joy through that process. And that was connecting with people. That was coaching. You know, that was being able to provide a platform for people. And so now I have taken those things, and I literally intentionally make sure that the things that I know that bring me joy, those same things that brought me joy back in JP Morgan when I wasn't embracing it, that I then end up doing in my direct sales career, that I now have an entire business model around, as you know, that I'm evolving into. The entire business model that I'm rolling out is only around the things that are completely aligned to my soul fires and the things that light me up, because ultimately I know that embracing my evolution is recognizing the way that I feel in the moment that I'm doing certain things and leaning into those things more and more. I kind of went off topic a little bit, giving more examples of myself than I had planned on. But I want to, you know, continue to give a little more, clarity around some of the things that, you know, maybe other directions that happen when you're kind of chasing these external powers, right? So another thing that may happen, you know, maybe is if one is actually unconscious, right? So, you know, if they're not aware of the things that they are passionate about, or the things that do, you know, actually make you feel amazing, you know, you may not be conscious enough to recognize it, right? And so what happens is that you fail to lean into those feelings more, which also results in a midlife crisis. So there may be, you know, things in your career or things that you've done in your life that you were so unconscious because you do them so regularly, that, or you just haven't consciously paid attention to the things that really bring you joy, or you haven't taken the time to, that you are not consciously getting aligned in your life. So you feel unfulfilled, right? You constantly feel like there's more out there. You feel stuck, because you haven't awakened that, as Tony Robbins will say, the giant within. All right. So the more conscious person is always going to have a heightened sense and value what the chase created. You know, they're going to also try to awaken and continue the next journey more consciously, acknowledging, you know, the parts of their soul and the things that really bring them joy, and making more choices to ultimately lead towards that full alignment. Now, embracing the changes that occur, and really more so acknowledging the person that you have become, is ultimately what allows us to enjoy life in the present, right? So, you know, we all have moments of wanting to talk about the good old days, right? Like, I was in Cabo for Coachella, and I mean, we had our fair share of talking about our New York days, which is like, oh, such a joy to always talk about those days, because the whole New York crew was there, and you know, your 20s, when you just, I mean, now that all, pretty much everyone there is married with kids, and so to be able to talk about the old days when everybody was a size 2 is always fun. But it has to be a difference between talking about the good old days and just completely obsessing over the good old days, obsessing over the past, you know, or really even obsessing over the future, right? And forgetting to really lean into the present moment and really embrace all around you. What have you evolved into today? And in that evolution of who you have become today, you know, how can you take those parts of your life that you love most and lean into them even more? This is so important, especially if you are in a season of your life where you currently feel stuck. If you currently feel stuck, it's so important that, you know, you recognize that you potentially have not embraced your evolution by starting to uncover who you are at your core right now. And I want you to ask yourself that. I want you to look yourself in the mirror and honestly ask yourself, do I know who Alina is 2019, April 2019? Right? Because to be completely honest, the person that I was March 2018, April 2018 is not the person that I am today. I got a whole new kid. I got a whole new career. I got, you know, a whole new mortgage. Like, it's so many experiences in this last year, to my point earlier in the episode, that have occurred that I have to embrace that journey, that evolution, right? The last 6 months of hell, I have to embrace that. I have to lean into that present moment and think about, in those moments, what was the joy that I felt, and how can I lean into that more? So, for example, because I'm super conscious around my feelings and my emotions, when I was living at my mom's house out of that suitcase with the same 10 pieces of clothing for 90 days, how did I feel? I did not feel like I was missing anything. Okay. I felt overwhelmed with gratitude because I had a roof over my head. In that season, I felt so many emotions that now that I'm not in that situation, I have leaned more into how I felt in that moment, which is, I don't need much. All I need is I need a healthy husband and healthy kids. That's all I need. So I lean into that more by selling a lot of the stuff that didn't serve me, starting with my car, starting with a lot of my handbags, my shoes, some of my jewelry, just junk. I mean, I'm not gonna call it junk, just stuff that added no value to my life, right? Because I felt like that cleansing of extra stuff that served no purpose, you know, helped bring me more in alignment with the things that do matter. They're no longer clouding my vision of those things, right? So that's an example of me embracing a present moment that, you know, it uncovered some things that maybe had given me external power that no longer were a part of my life, but it allowed me to get at my core to the things that were most important. And because I want to continue to evolve in a direction that's most aligned with that moment and those feelings that I felt, right, I made conscious decisions to peel back the things that were not in alignment with, you know, kind of who I evolved into during that period. So my last example around that, and I hope that this really kind of helps to illustrate some of the embracing of an evolution and what happens if you don't embrace it, you know, really hits home. All right. So, you know, when in 2014 is when I had Parker, that's when I became a mother. And I think that in my first Unmastering Motherhood episode, I talked about how one of my very first conversations when I found out I got pregnant was with one of my friends. And, you know, she was just like kind of just sad a little bit because she felt like she was going to be losing me as a friend. Because she had always kind of known people who had kids to just kind of changed completely. She lost friends essentially when they had kids, and because we're so close, I really just said, you know what, I'm not gonna change. Like, don't even worry about it. Like, it's not even a thing. Like, I'm literally not gonna change. So I spent the first several months of motherhood, probably even the first majority of the first year, desperately trying not to change. Okay. I mean, I spent so much time literally obsessing over the past, obsessing over my life in New York, the size 4 clothes I used to wear, my Louboutin shoes, my lifestyle, my body, you know, the confidence that I had because of my career. Like, I spent so much time doing that I was failing to embrace the actual change that was occurring. Okay. And in doing that, I was living a very inauthentic version of myself, trying to keep up with my old self. All right. Like trying to keep up with the old Alina. Like 2019 Alina trying to keep up with 2012 Alina. Even though I'm the same person with the same name, I would be living an inauthentic version of myself currently if I was trying to pretend like I even give a damn about any of the stuff that was pertinent to me back in that. All right. Because the truth was is that I actually had changed. I became a whole mama. I changed. Right. And some of the things that I did prior to, they weren't fun to me anymore. Some of the crowds that I hung around were not of interest to me anymore. All right. And the things that I did enjoy were things like when I would spend time, you know, maybe reading books about the role of the mother in the Christian family. Like those are the things that would light me up. All right. But that's not stuff that I, you know, would have embraced as 2012 Alina. But like, honestly, at that time, those were the things that I was starting to fall in love with. I was starting to fall in love with this role of the mother, you know, especially from in a spiritual context, you know, reading about it, you know, reading blogs, reading this and that, like those were the things that were starting to light me up and set my fire on soul, you know. But instead of me leaning into that more and embracing more of those things that I was starting to become very keen on, I spent more time trying to find a babysitter so that I could keep up with the old me. Okay. So by the time Parker was one, I had the biggest mom guilt. Like literally my son always chose Prince over me. You know, the connection just wasn't there. And it honestly wasn't until I went to therapy, because I started to get anxiety. And y'all know this from Unmastering Motherhood episode. I started to get anxiety when I was pregnant with Alicia, because I was like, bro, like what if this second child also like does not rock with me like Parker does not rock with me? So when I got to therapy, you know, we're peeling back these layers, we're getting to the core of this situation or these feelings that I was feeling, my therapist said to me, she said, well, Alina, what was the energy, you know, that you had around Parker, you know, in his first year? Like what energy did you feel like he felt from you? You know, and honestly, it certainly, you know, wasn't what I wish that it would have been. Right. It literally wasn't me, you know, being like, oh, I want to be the best mom. Like that wasn't the energy that he probably felt. I had to completely be honest with her and say I had not embraced my evolution of coming into motherhood. In fact, I had fought it as long as I could. So I was like living this life where I was stuck in between the old me and the real me. You know, and I often find myself wondering, like, if I had actually embraced the change, you know, would my journey have been, you know, had a different outcome? Would my delivery, y'all know how, you know, things went down with my C-section, you know, and when I think about it, because I hadn't really embrace my role as a mother, and I was trying so desperately to, you know, chase after these external powers, being the coolest, being the cutest, having the most litest life, or whatever you want to say it, you know, focusing on all of these external things, as Gary talks about, you know, I had not embraced the things that were really at my core at the time, which was, you know, trying to figure out what this new life was going to look like. I barely did any research. I definitely, you know, just kind of closed my eyes and picked a doctor online at random, really made no real effort to prepare who I was evolving into. So this would be, you know, exactly what Gary is talking about in terms of you can unconsciously evolve unconsciously, right? Or you can consciously, you know, make the effort to evolve into the person that you want to be. You know, never once in that moment or in that season did I go within to hear my soul, right? It was all just personality. I didn't go into what Gary refers to as the soul during that phase of my life. Now, fast forward to, you know, 5 years later, 4 years later, I definitely feel like I'm a bit more evolved in my consciousness. I try to embrace my seasons with more intention so that I can continue to peel back these layers that I keep talking about of who I am at my core and can align, you know, my life accordingly. So, you know, a lot of times when I know for me, when I'm listening to these things and I'm hearing people's examples, simultaneously, I'm thinking about my own situation, right? Like if I'm listening to a YouTube video or reading stuff, even when I was reading this book, I'm just like, I'm thinking about my own situation, right? So you may be listening and you're like, okay, I really can recognize that I'm misaligned, right? Because my I'm stuck, Alina, because my life does not really, like, the things that I do day to day do not line up with the things that are at my core. Or maybe I don't even know what's at my core. Or maybe I do know what's at my core and the things that I love, that I'm passionate about, the things that, you know, give me wisdom and joy, the things that I'm most creative when I'm doing. You know, maybe I do know those things. And, you know, the life that I'm living, you wouldn't even know it, because my career path, the person that I'm with, the choices that I make, they are not in any way aligned with, you know, the things that I actually, if I could choose, like, would be at the forefront of my life, you know. And I think that there's also going to be a lot of you guys that'll just say, you know, I just haven't done a heart check or a soul check in a minute, right? Maybe you did one last year and you went through a season like me and you're like, you know what? Even the person that I was, shoot, May of last year, like, I don't even know her no more, because the stuff that she cared about, I could give a damn about right now, honestly. You know, the things that I want to spend my time doing that I thought I wanted to do last May, it's not really a priority for me right now, because these things right here are most important for me because of the things that I've gone through, right? You know, so it's one of those things where we have to kind of see where we are in those misalignments and taking the time to do that so that we can, you know, begin to live a life that is embracing the person that we've evolved into present day, you know, and not just unconsciously ignoring that person or even giving them a life of their own. Right. So, you know, if you're dealing with a situation where you feel like you are misaligned, you are stuck, right? I have a tool that I personally feel like is something that I have used the last several years. I'm not going to say several, I'm going to say few years since having Alicia, that I personally have been able to over and over rediscover the most authentic version of myself using this tool. Because I've recognized that through seasons, through journeys, through heartbreak, through difficulties, through happiness, there are new things that become soul moments for me that I have to lean into. And there are things that I spend way too much time on that I'm not aligned with anymore. Right. And when I revisit and use this tool, I feel like I get more and more aligned each year. So, you know, I decided that I wanted to formalize this process and this tool that I personally have been using, you know, for the last two years. I wanted to, you know, just kind of put it into something that could be tangible for others. I wanted to kind of build upon it beyond just the raw exercise that I do. I wanted to bring in some of my expertise from my experience, you know, coaching hundreds of women in direct sales and in business and in small businesses through my consulting platform. I wanted to bring in all of that, right? All of the stuff that I'm good at, all of the stuff that has helped me, and put it into a free tool that I felt like could be a game changer for so many people. You know, I think that the one thing that the Getting Unstuck feedback taught me or showed me was that I am not okay with ignoring the impact that external powers and the chase for external powers has had on us up until this day. Like, I am not okay ignoring the fact that so many of my friends are depressed, including myself sometimes, right? Like, me and my girlfriend have days where we send each other a number in terms of how we're feeling that day. And when my number is low, it's because I've spent a massive amount of time doing things that are not aligned, right? So I don't want to be that person to ignore what people the masses for sure are going through, especially knowing that I personally feel like I have a tool that has worked so well for me that I feel like can work so well for you guys. So you all are the first to hear about this tool, and it is called the Getting Unstuck Guide, and it is a guide to rediscovering yourself in under an hour. It's a very, very short resource. It's simple. It's to the point. And when I tell you it works, baby, it works. Now, you know, this, like I said, this is something that was really just birthed right after Alicia was born, but it's really overlaid with stuff that I've been doing for the last 10 years in so many different ways. You know, and it's an intentional, it's potent, and it just is so impactful. You know, I actually have had several people complete this guide in the last month or two, and I mean, some of the feedback that I've gotten. In fact, let me just share with you some of the stuff that people have said about the new Getting Unstuck Guide. So somebody says, you have created a great resource to help people get out of their head and into action. Although our experience of being stuck may be different, the personal story in the beginning was very relatable. The examples for each exercise were super helpful in guiding the process. You know, my initial reaction to one of the buckets was that it was a little extreme, and I almost struggled with referring to my dislike so strongly. But then I thought, how often do I say that I hate my arms, etc., and I decided to roll with it, LOL. Lastly, as someone who has struggled with perfectionism, I almost went on a similar tangent with the third bucket, but again, I rolled with it and it felt good. When I got to the end, I was happy to see that you recommended focusing on the top three because, girl, my list was long. Overall, this is a great guide to stop complaining and start moving towards solutions. I found it so helpful. Another review says, I just completed the worksheets from the Reminder Remedy Guide, and honestly, I'm quite speechless. With tears in my eyes, I filled out each sheet, and I realized that what my heart desires, I have not been doing. I've been playing it safe out of fear, and it reflects in my life, my finances, and my business. I'm terrified to go all in, but how will I ever know if I can swim if I don't jump? How will I ever change the dynamic in my family and break barriers if I don't bet solely on God and jump? So thank you for honing in and striding in your purpose. Because of your obedience, I can fully stride in God's purpose for my life. Scared and all, I'm going for. Another person says, I am about to complete the unstuck guide. Thanks for sending it. As I was completing it, I felt like it was a vision board with words instead of pictures. Some of the things I wrote in each column go hand in hand. In the love category, I put decorating cakes. She said, check out my Instagram. If I didn't have to return to teaching, my life would be perfect. So by putting more time into my cakes and getting more of my business in line, I'm able to resign from teaching. This is definitely an exercise to be revisited at least every 6 months, if not sooner. Thanks for helping me get unstuck. These are real testimonies, and I could go on and on, but I've already gone past my hour. And y'all know I'm trying to watch my time. Guys, I created this because the number one thing that, you know, when we talk about soul fires, the number one thing that I feel like I go in on with my friends is when we start having conversations around, you know, life and feeling stuck and failing to embrace where we are right now. You know, my biggest thing is, how can we be present right now, recognize who we are today, you know, based on all of the bullshit that we've been through in the last 5 years, ups, downs, highs, lows, deaths, joys, based on all of that, who did it make us become today? And how can we lean into that? How can we stop obsessing over the person that looked like this, felt like this, did this, or had the, you know, the career trajectory that we thought was going to be it? And how can we focus on who we are in this moment right now and go inward to figure out, do the things that we have been trained to be our benchmark, do those things really even matter to us? Do the things that I do every single day really even light my soul on fire? Because if they don't, I guarantee you that is why you feel stuck right now. And so through this resource, you're going to be able to take everything that you've heard on this episode and start getting aligned and getting unstuck. And I guarantee you that you can get it done in under an hour with this new tool. Okay, so you can get it from my brand new website, which I'm super excited about as well. AlenaConley.com has been revised, revisited, and realigned. And there will probably be even a pop-up as soon as you get on there that says, download this free Getting Unstuck guide. Y'all, I love this exercise. I do it myself. And I'm very, very excited to see how much it's going to help you all start to embrace your evolution in 2019. Thanks for tuning in to yet another episode of The Reminder Remedy. I am so excited to finally be rolling out the Getting Unstuck guide because I know so many of you are going to find value in it. So I want you to go ahead and head over to AlenaConley.com. You can actually download it directly on my homepage, or you can head over to my Instagram at AlenaConley. And if you click the link in my bio, you will just simply tap where it says download the Getting Unstuck guide. As always, I want to encourage you to go and join our private Facebook community on the Reminder Remedies episodes and different conversations we like to share specifically for our listeners. And you can also join that community by going to my Instagram page and clicking join my private online community. Thanks for tuning in, guys.